It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "The tree of liberty must from time to time be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Today, I want to talk about these tyrants because these tyrants are in our government and I know how to solve the problem. I've got the answer. It's a no-brainer. Here's the solution to these tyrants in our government: term limits. You get your shot. You get your 3 or 4 years and you go home and do what you did before. You sell insurance or whatever, you cars, I don't care. Term limits is the answer to corruption in our government today. That's what I've got to say about it. Isn't that a great idea? Applause? Anything? Nothing?
That's you don't get applause for a cliche. Especially, you know, many cliches are true. This happens to be one that is not only false in particular, but it's a reflection of a complete misunderstanding of human nature and political life. It's term limits as a solution to political tyranny.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine you were suffering from a terrible, invasive, aggressive tumor that's taking over your whole body, mm-hmm. and somebody said, "What about a little Neosporin and and a Band-Aid?"
Now, hold on. This is a great idea. I thought about this for at least 15 minutes. I've done some serious thinking. I might have, you know, perused the internet a little bit, something, but I'm telling you, this is the solution. Now, I don't understand the Band-Aid on the tumor. Tell me more.
Okay. First of all, we got two problems going on here, Rex. One problem is that term limits has been tried in various ways, in various places, and as a solution, it's certainly not very effective. Secondly is your misunderstanding of the problem of tyranny, political corruption, and political oppression. Let's begin with a simple one on term limits. You got to go back to an old theory of Edward Banfield, who was a great political sociologist. There are others who have taken this up. Hmm. And it's the theory of time preference. Time preference. How important is time in making your calculations? So, for example, particularly in making money, a guy who's a day laborer or just a bum who's working for drugs, he wants to be paid right now because he wants his Big Mac and cheese or he wants his heroin. He wants it now.
Okay,
and
now.
He cannot wait. Remember rock and roll song in the mid-60s? You probably would remember. We want the world and we want it now. That's the anthem of an entire generation of losers. So, now at the other end of the scale, almost, are upper middle class people who measure their salaries in terms of years, not months, not days, not weeks, but years. So, so-and-so makes $500,000 a year.
Nice.
That's because he can think in terms of a whole year. By the way, when you get to be the super rich, where you're fourth generation money, you've inherited it all, you got everything, then you get to have the world right now. Mm. Anyway, now in politics, this means how much gratification do you need and how soon do you need it? Hmm. Politicians with short terms, that is, say, a 2-year term or a 4-year term, these are like the mosquitoes in Canada. Hmm. You know, if you go up to Canada in July or August, these mosquitoes have a couple of days before the frost sets in. They have to eat voraciously. The average politician who goes into, say, Congress expects to be in there for 16, 18, 20, 24 years.
Boy.
And therefore, once he has looted his way to security and wealth, he gets a little lazy and relaxed. This happens to a lot of dictators, like the Marcos family in the Philippines or the Somozas in Nicaragua. Hmm. The last thing you want to do is to get rid of an old dictator, because you're going to toss him out in the name of reform. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a young dictator who's poor and hungry, and he's going to spend all his time stealing.
Boy.
Now, Hans Hermann Hoppe, a very eccentric libertarian theorist, I used to know Hans quite well, and he wrote a book explaining why monarchy was the least coercive form of government, potentially, because the king looked upon the country as his patrimony. He inherited it from his ancestors. He expected to pass it down to his descendants. He didn't want to loot the country because looting it would hurt it. So instead, he wanted to pass it on, preserve it, defend it, because to him, his time span was very long. It wasn't even his own life. It was down to the third, fourth, or fifth generation. So one of the worst things you could do would be to tell a politician, you've only got 2 years to loot. Steal as much as you can now, buddy, because we're not even going to let you go into lobbying afterwards.
Well, one thing we are agreeing on today is that they are bloodsuckers. So the thing is that this idea of corruption, that's what's bothering me. I mean, it's the idea of getting down on corruption. How do we change things in that way? Let's get tough on corruption, I say.
As I said, your delusion about term limits, which is, by the way, a favorite delusion of American conservatives. So it's nice to see that at least your error is a typical conservative movement error. This delusion comes from a deeper misunderstanding about the nature of politics and the nature of humanity. Hmm. You may have read this book called The Bible, and in it there are things called Psalms, and we hear the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Hmm. We also know from the Bible that once upon a time, man lived as a perfect being, created by his creator, not to make mistakes, but he was given free will, so he made a mistake. Hmm. And ever since then, we've been kicked out of Eden. We can't live in perfection. We're subject to these temptations of our fallen nature. If you put people in charge, unless they happen to be people of extraordinarily high character, and people who are invested long-term in an institution, whether that institution is a business or a country or a church, their natural human nature is self-seeking and therefore corrupt.
Yes.
Now, one of the problems in American business is, this is proverbial, that American business managers are interested in the quarterly bottom line, which determines how well they do with their board of directors, how well they do with the investors, whereas in other countries, they're often interested in a 10-year period.
It's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, well, if you think that there are human managers of any institution who are idealistic and therefore non-corrupt, I mean, as a class, of course there are exceptions. Of course there are exceptions. But you'd expect to find, like, the College of Cardinals in the Vatican. These are people devoted to a 2,000-year-old Christian institution. Why, they should be the best of the best. But look at them now. Look at them. Corrupt, homosexual, self-seeking, dishonest.
Oh,
or look at megachurch pastors in America. These people are ignoramuses. They are greedy. They are flashy. They are tasteless vulgarians. It's a basic mistake to think that a political system of any particular type or a constitutional structure creates society. The fact is the opposite. Societies, that is the people in a society, the nature they have, that is what creates systems. Hmm. My friend Clyde Wilson, who's a great American historian, likes to say that constitutions don't make people, people make constitutions. Therefore, it was the character of Americans. They were in the 18th century. They were responsible, they were disciplined, they were thrifty, and these are the kind of people who made a constitution that attempted to limit the possibility of the ruling class being coercive.
I like this guy.
And corrupt. You can make any kind of rules you want. One of my favorite examples is that when we established Liberia as a colony for former slaves, we gave them the American Constitution. That was the official constitution of Liberia. Well, anybody who knows anything about Liberian history, the savagery, corruption, the abuse of power by the former slaves who were allowed to go back to Africa, would understand that the American Constitution can't fix anything if the people themselves are corrupt. Mm. Neither Britain nor Rome, two very successful states, they weren't perfect, but neither one of them had written constitutions. The systems were so long as the people were sound.
But we still have to have some guidelines. To whom is given much, much is required. You've been given more, you have a greater responsibility.
Well, if pigs could fly, you wouldn't need a drone to deliver the bacon. There's a basic problem here, and that is the notion that you can change the laws, change the Constitution. By the way, this is true on left and right in America. The idea that changing these written documents will have some real effect. You know, Plato famously says that when people learn to read, they begin to lose their memories because they relied on their memories. And that's certainly true, by the way, psychologically. It's one of the many true things he said. Corollary to this is that the more laws you pass, the more sick and evil your society becomes, because you need to pass all these laws because your people are getting more and more depraved. I mean, Rex, again, you know, you've been to church.
I have.
Sometime in the past. St. Paul tells us the law, the old law, the law of the old of the Pentateuch was made for condemnation, for judgment. And that under the law, men are condemned to death. Mm. But grace, which came in the form of the Son of God coming to man in human form, grace liberated us. It gave us freedom in life.
Yes.
But human society, nonetheless, always needs laws, not necessarily all the funny kosher laws which the Old Testament posed. We need laws because we are not perfect. And not only are we not perfect, we're not perfectible. We're not improvable. Mm-hmm. And we always need correction.
Yep.
Some people have been distinguished in the history of the world by their creativity. For example, the Greeks were a very creative people. They had a clear view of human corruption and the various steps you could take to prevent it. They knew you couldn't be successful. For example, in America, we believe you can name 12 honest men and true to a jury and you can get justice. The Greeks thought, nonsense, it's easy to bribe 12 men. You need about 500, then it makes it tougher to bribe. See, total cynicism as well as creativity. Other people have been distinguished from having great self-discipline, moral responsibility. Republican Romans, for example. These kinds of virtues of self-discipline combined with thrift and the ability to mind your own business and keep the basic commandments of the moral law, these things produced people in a society in early America who jealously guarded their liberties from predatory politicians. Now, the more laws we pass, the worse we are. And as Tacitus says famously about the early Roman Empire, when they were kept on trying to reform it, the remedies proved to be worse than the disease itself. So any paper solution, I don't care whether it's term limits, I don't care whether it's some new constitutional form, the people themselves are corrupt. The people themselves are greedy. We're no better than the politicians. There's a famous proverb, which is, we get the rulers we deserve. We are stars. We are good.